good morning. Good to see you all. Yeah. Good to be seen and seeing seen, right? All right, just a couple of things here. Out on the table, I don't know if people stop and look and see if there's anything new out there or not, but these will be. Men's retreat coming up in September at Camp Fairwood. Ladies retreat also at Camp Fairwood. The brochures are out there. Gives you the details as far as who's speaking, how much it costs, and everything else. So you might look at those. Check your mail today. There's the new financial report for the quarter. We're running a little bit behind in that. I mean, as far as time-wise, we'll have the business meeting after the morning service next Sunday. So you got a week to kind of look it over. And also, the new calendar, I emailed that to you, but I know some people don't have printers and so on. So there's one in your box. We tried to catch up with the last 4 weeks of giving. It's in the little sheet. And the missionary of the week didn't get it to me before I had the other stuff printed. So that's tacked on to the back side of your giving sheet, the gull brace there in Scotland. So that's why that's tacked on there. Come in late, so that's where you ended up. Okay, good enough. This is probably, I guess, left over from VBS or something, but if a little purple watch. I didn't know if one of the speakers brought that along for their timer or something, but I'm guessing it belongs to one of the kids. So, all right. Let's see here. Anything? August Family Camp coming up here. Everything's happening at Camp Fairwood. You'll find more stuff on looking ahead there in the August calendar of some of these different things. And when I made this up, some of you guys have filled in, I appreciate that, for church cleaning and mowing and all that sort of thing. So that's taken care of, but appreciate that. Appreciate you guys praying for us. I still haven't got around to figuring out how many miles we went, but it's kind of like get home. I'm still putting stuff away at home because as soon as we got home, it was get ready to go to the hospital. So, maybe I'll just save that till the end, kind of update you a little on that. So, but do appreciate you folks praying for us. That makes a big difference for sure. And I know I've said that before, but it means a lot knowing people are praying for you. You know, when you're going up that mountain and coming through Nebraska and it's 100 degrees out and you're hoping your air conditioner doesn't quit on you or something. You know. But we got back home before the gas went up. Okay, I'll try not to do too much story time here. So, all right, so I'm going to sing here to begin with. Amazing Grace, 202.
Well, good morning, everyone. If you wouldn't mind standing, we'll sing the first, second, and fourth verses of Amazing Grace, hymn number 202. First, second, and fourth.
Amazing grace, the sweet sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Number two.
Grace that taught my heart to hear, and grace my tears relieved. How precious is that grace. danger, toils, and snare, I have a rest. Oh, 'tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
And if you'd like to turn ahead to hymn number 379, and we'll sing the first three verses of Take My Life and Let It Be. People said,
yeah.
You may be seated.
All right. Usually, and this, everything's kind of shifted time-wise. I'm thankful for all the folks that were participating in our Vacation Bible School in one way or another. Can I just have those? It doesn't matter if you were there one day or 5 days, but if you helped out in Bible school somewhere or another, would you stand up? Come on. Don't be bashful. No. Stand. There we go. Yeah. Well. All right. Karen, she's not standing, but she was there. She was. You got to wonder for these people that always sign up to want to guard the cookies. Yeah, but appreciate y'all working together and having it work out so well. I'm going to say, you know, it's amazing. I know I'm irreplaceable, but you guys did a great job, and we sure appreciate you putting that time and energy in and making it something worthwhile for the kids. And I haven't talked to CEF people to know if decisions were made that week or not. But we're building in, a lot of these are church kids. They're from other churches, but they like coming to our VBS. And so hopefully they've learned things that will be of help to them in the days ahead. All right, so let's see if we've got a couple of choruses here. How about He's able? All right. We need the Lord that's able. Lots of times we're not, right? And we need to call on the Lord. Shall we stand? We just got two short ones here this morning. That's a lifelong thing that takes place, folks. That's why I say I'm going to have to live a long time, because the Lord's got a lot of work to do. Okay. greet those around you. Bob, you might need to turn this down a little bit. I know I was hearing, we listened in on you guys, kept hearing, I'll talk louder. And I guess I don't need to talk louder now. Yeah. So, hey, the day's probably coming. They keep sending me emails about new hearing aids. Are you guys sending those to me? Oh, my. And these new ones work better than the $4,000 one. You know what I mean? Okay. All right, so we are back in the book of John. We won't stay here forever, but we'll do this for a few more weeks here. We're looking at John 17 here today, verses 1 to 5. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth. Thank you for the wisdom and direction it's able to give us. We pray that we might be good students of it, and that we might allow your word to be taken by the Holy Spirit to do a work in our lives, to mold us and shape us to be like Jesus. We thank you for your help now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what is really finished when we die? A story is told of a minister who called on little Johnny's house, and in the course of the conversation, he asked him, he says, do you pray every night, my boy? Nah, says Johnny. Some nights I don't want anything. Well, some people kind of view prayer as a bit of a selfish thing. We only talk to God when we want something. And you probably have people like that. The only time you hear from them, email, phone, whatever, when they want something. But prayer ought to be a whole lot more than that, but ought to be a time of confession where we recognize where we've fallen short, ask the Lord to forgive us, to praise the Lord, to thank Him for His answered prayers, and for thanksgiving, to worship Him, recognize who He is. And then to intercede for others. And I appreciate you guys doing a lot of that interceding here lately, you know. Prayer really is a ministry of that we can take part in. You know, God's given us the opportunity to be able to talk to Him. You know, God could have taken the approach that there's so many of you, it's hard to keep everybody straight. You're always wanting something. Don't bother me. You know, you see these funny different floor mats that they put out in front of house, you know, that basically tell you to go away or something. But my neighbor, I was trying to check up on him the other day, and finally, he never answers the phone. And I saw him out in the yard, and I was outside and talking to him. I said, "You never answer the phone anymore." He said, "Yeah, all these political ads, and I got some other outfit calling wanting money about every 5 minutes." So, okay. But he hadn't heard my message. I don't know when he would have got around to hearing about it. But God's not like that. He wants to hear from his kids. And, you know, we've kind of mislabeled what the Lord's Prayer is, you know. And this is really more of the Lord's Prayer than the one that we normally think of here in John 17. And it's broken up into three parts. We'll look at each one of those in days coming here. But first of all, it talks about himself. He prays for himself. And then secondly, he prays for the disciples. And then lastly, he prays for us. And we're going to be looking at these first five verses here today. They're in John 17. He says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." So today we want to examine Christ's prayer. Again, learning some truths and principles that we can apply to our own lives. And a few things we want to notice there. If there's an outline in your bulletin, if you want to use that. And first thing, we notice that there's intimacy. There's a closeness in relationship. And kind of taking the last couple of chapters in view there in chapters 14 through 16, we see the closeness between Jesus Christ, the Son, and his Father. And the last verse that we see here today, there, verse 5, says, "And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." You know, he's thinking back to what it was like before he came to this earth, the relationship that they had. And so they've always been close. And one way to keep that close relationship going when Christ was here on earth was through prayer. And I'm thinking about it, if Christ needed to pray to talk to his Heavenly Father, so do we. And somebody said, if God seems far away from you, remember, God hasn't moved. It's you that moved. And so we need to dedicate time in prayer to talk to him. And because that's going to help us to grow closer to him. I was thinking about that in relation to Maureen and I, because sometimes people say, "Oh, you're going here or there. Oh, you're going to fly or drive." You know, "Well, we're going to drive." "Ah, such a long way." "Well, yeah, it's a lot of hours. But we're, you know, foot and a half apart here." And we talk about all kinds of stuff, and the time flies. Well, you know what it's like. If you're riding with somebody and the conversation's going, time flies. Whereas if you're going by yourself, it's like, oh, how many more miles? How many more hours? You know. And so the time we had together was great. And we see here Jesus is talking about this closeness with his Father on into the chapter. He said there in verse 21, "that they may that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." And so there was that cooperation, that relationship the Father and the Son had with one another. They kept the lines of communication open. Jesus didn't talk to the Father only when he wanted something. Second thing we see here, that there was teamwork that was going on. We look at verse 4. It says, and he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now Jesus, he has obeyed his heavenly Father. He came to this earth ultimately to die so that we might be forgiven of our sins and released from bondage. It required teamwork. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all three were involved in the matter of salvation. And you find this teamwork probably if there's somebody else living there in your home with you. You know, somebody washes, somebody dries. Somebody mops the floor, somebody vacuums. Or maybe it's somebody makes the mess, somebody else cleans it up. However it works. I guess I've noticed something that I guess I knew it, but Maureen's always been one to wash up the dishes, you know, and she just does it. And now I'm kind of taking over some of this stuff. I didn't realize that two people can make that many dirty dishes. How many times a day do I do this? But yeah, teamwork. And many of us discovered, again, working together. You found that with Vacation Bible School. Not any one of us could put that on by ourselves, all right? But a group of people coming together, working for the common good of these children, a lot can be accomplished. Now, that used to be, that was one of the kind of the mottos for our regular Baptist churches a few years back. Together we can do more, you know, and that's kind of the way it is with Camp Fairwood. Not any one church could have something like that, but you get a group of churches all putting time, energy, finances, kids, adults, and everything else into it. You got a great ministry there. And so we have here Jesus and the Father working as a team. The Father's providing direction and Jesus is carrying it out. We also notice here that there's love and respect that's taking place. Again, there in verse 4, beyond the teamwork, it says that Christ said he had glorified the Father when he was here on this earth. Well, what does glorify mean? Hold up somebody in high regard to demonstrate love and respect towards them. And we can do that to our earthly fathers, but we also need to do that to our heavenly fathers. And Jesus did so with his heavenly Father as he was obedient to him. He did everything that his Father had asked him to do. And again, this was true of Jesus, but the question that we need to ask ourselves today is, am I, not anybody else sitting in the pew with you, but am I glorifying the Father by what I do? Is God glorified in our work, our service, our obedience? Do we glorify and honor the Lord, showing love and respect to him by our obedience? And we've got that little song, what's the very best way to show that I believe? And then you spell out obedience. And are we obedient if we are obedient half the time? Three quarters of the time? 95% of the time? You know, we're probably all going to come up short somewhere along the line. But the question is, are we trying? Are we asking the Lord to help us to be obedient to him? Are we even trying to glorify him? I hope we think about that a little bit after we leave here today. And again, Jesus wasn't referring here to what he had done in the past, but what he's still doing, what he was going to do yet. Because after this prayer, Jesus went on to face his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, everything that was needed to provide our salvation, and enabling us to become a part of God's family, to build his church. That was all yet future. And later on we see there in the New Testament the importance of that closeness, that teamwork that was needed with the disciples, the apostles, and that love and respect in Christ's church. So we see here another thing, lesson was that of completion. And this, in one of my Greek classes, the teacher, he was a neat guy. But every once in a while he'd come across and he'd say, "Now this is a nota bene." You know, huh? What's that mean? That means you better remember this. You're going to see this on the test. All right? So this is important. So pay attention on this one if you haven't up till now. Christ completed all that he set out to do. And we see here in scriptures that he says that he's finished. And we hear him on the cross saying, "It is finished." But we see it here in verse 4. "These things have I told you that when the..." Keep getting into 16. How about verse 4, John 17, 4. "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do." And thing was here, he had completed his work. In Jesus' mind, it was finished. It was a done deal. There was no doubt that everything that he set out to do was going to be completed. And everything he had intended to do when he left heaven to come to earth, it was going to be accomplished. And, well, let's turn this thing around a little bit. That's great for Jesus, but what about us? Of all the things that we hope to finish in this life, is it a reality? Or are we kind of dreaming? What have we accomplished? You know, sometimes they talk about midlife crisis or whatever. You know, I haven't heard that for a while, but you hit 40 and you look back over your life and you think what you got done and what you've accomplished and yet what's ahead of you, and you may or may not be satisfied with what you've been able to do up to that point. But, you know, so usually if we think about it, there's probably some, I should have done this, or I should have done that. What's that commercial that you hear about, you know, somebody passed away and she turns to her husband and said, "We have a life insurance, don't we?" "Well, I've been aiming to. I'm trying to find one that's affordable," or whatever. Yeah, well, there's things that we plan to do one of these days, but we haven't got around to it yet. And I don't just say it to discourage you, because there's always some things that we had hoped to have done but haven't got to it yet. But it's kind of a reality check. And, you know, we can learn, again, some important truths about finishing our work as we look at Jesus here, about the completion that Jesus said he had accomplished. And it can have an impact on our life. Because Jesus said, "It's finished. It's completed." But what was he really saying? That I have finished it, or I will finish it? I'm going to complete everything that you wanted me to do, Heavenly Father. Now, when we leave this earth, have we completed our Heavenly Father's to-do list? How many of you have a to-do list? It may be written down, maybe just in your head, you know. But you've got certain things you do, certain days or whatever. And some are more important than others. But there's a more important list than our list. Okay? And the satisfaction we get in checking things off, you know. It's our Heavenly Father's to-do list. And we might think of it as God's will for our life. What is it that God wants us to do? What is it He wants us to complete in this life? Are we in tune with that? Does that show up on our radar at all? Or in reality, is our list or His list the most important thing? Is getting things checked off of our list? Again, there's some degree of satisfaction. You check it off, and I realize some of them you can kick the can down the road. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow or whatever. But we're not saying that we just focus in on God's list and ignore everybody else, ignore your family. I'm not saying that. Whether it's, God doesn't want us to neglect our family. It's not an either or choice. I either do God's will or show attention to my family. God's given us a family. He's given us a job, in most cases. But, you know, what is it that seems to have priority in our lives? Are there a lot of things that really come ahead of God? And He kind of takes what's left over in our life, whether it's our energy, our time, you name it, okay? You know, we're conscious of the time that we spend with our family, and that's fine. But do we consider the time that we spend with the Lord? Does He come up short? Does He kind of just get the leftovers? Eventually, if that's the case, it's going to have an impact on our lives. We get down, we get discouraged, and we're in need of counsel or input or something, somebody to come along and kind of pep us up a little bit. In many cases, those needs could have been met. God has provided a way for those needs to have been met somewhere along the line. And this is a little commercial of my own in here, but sometimes people ask, we ought to talk about this or that or the other thing. I said, well, we did. We did that on Sunday school, or we did that on Wednesday nights. And you weren't here. I'm not putting a guilt trip on you, but sometimes I try to have a variety of different subjects and things that we talk about, but if you're not tuned into it, you're not going to get the benefit from it. And we lose if we're only working on our list, our to-do list. Well, I got this, that, and the other thing I got to do. Well, where does God fit into all this? Does He? You know, as we look again at Jesus and His completed, what He finished. And again, this is, I don't know if you've thought about this too much, but how could Jesus talk about a completed work or His finished work? You know what I mean? I mean, He's only here for 3 years. And you consider what He finished and what was left unfinished and what He did, what He left undone. You think of the thousands of people that were still crippled, still handicapped in some way or another in Jesus' day when He went back to heaven. For every withered hand and muscle that He had touched, there were thousands of others that weren't healed in that fashion. For every blind man that was healed and was regained his sight, there were many more that still remained blind. And yet in this night here, and with all these urgent needs unmet around Him, all these tasks that still needed to be done, the Lord has peace. And He's saying to His Father, it's finished. The work that You gave me to do is done. Christ is able to say that with a peaceful heart. He's not wringing His hands about all the stuff that's left undone. Jesus didn't meet all the needs of everybody when He was here upon this earth. He didn't meet all the urgent needs. He didn't meet all the needs of friends and family. and other people that he came across. But he completed the list that his Heavenly Father gave him. And this is critical, I think, and that we understand that, to realize this matter of completion, fulfillment. It came in relationship to his calling, to him doing God's will for his life. And he was doing everything that God wanted him to do and that God sent him to do. And Jesus is not the only one with that calling. They had a job was given to him to do, and a reason for living, if you will. You and I have a will for our lives too. God has, I believe, a list. His will, his desires for our life. He's left us here for a reason, with a purpose. And Jesus' sense of completion isn't just a list of endless needs, but it's a relationship. It was a priority. It was a focus. Jesus found fulfillment in focusing in on what his Heavenly Father wanted him to do. And we need to grasp a hold of this, in that it's not when our list is completed that we get to go home to heaven. And you probably hear me talk about this before, but you know, I really would like to get my garage cleaned and my basement cleaned. That, I mean, it's not dirty, but it's got a lot of stuff that could go somewhere else. And my son Jonathan, he hadn't said anything for a while, but he'll look at it. Dad, you really need to do something. You know, get a dumpster. I'll help you. And I look around, this is good stuff. Why would you? But I know that's what's going to happen to it if I don't. Well, I may or may not get that done before it's time for me to go home, all right? But it's not when we get our list done that we get to, you know, punch the car, our time card, and we're out of here, right? It's when we get God's list done, okay? When we filled our purpose for being here. There's going to be things left undone, okay? There's no way around it. And when we've done all that God has planned for us to do, then we get to go home. And nobody knows when that is. We just need to be ready. It might be today, might be 10 years. I'm thinking, you know, we got Titus and others, and maybe 80 years from now. Can you imagine this whole world going on for another 80? I don't think so. But Lord knows. And since we don't know when it's finished, we need to be ready whenever he says it's finished. And so God does want us to be able to say that the work that he's given us is completed. And so as we look at Jesus' teachings here about this calling, this completion, maybe this sounds scary. I've got seven things I want to share with you, okay? It will go fast. We'll still get out of here today. But the first thing was our calling goes beyond our own must-do to be happy list. Some people call it a bucket list. Air Force friend of mine, he's a real golf, I don't know if you call it fanatic, but he loves golf. He plays golf several times a week. He moved to around Myrtle Beach because they got all kinds of golf courses. He's got several within a few miles of him. And his goal is to play golf in every state. And he's got quite a few of them down. Okay? I don't have a bucket list like that. But sometimes we're just focusing on personal fulfillment. And, you know, there's certain things. And maybe I wouldn't say expected, but it's kind of the norm. Okay? But who wants to be normal, right? But anyway, it's, you know, okay, we're going to grow up, we're going to become adults, we're going to get married, we're going to have children, we're going to get a job, we get a house and all these different things. But the thing is, that may or may not be what God wants for you. God may have something different. Jesus came into this world. He had no marriage. He had no children. He didn't have a regular job. Didn't have a regular roof over his head, okay, once he left home. And yet he said he'd finished his work. And when Jesus claims fulfillment here, completion, it was finished. But Ken, it went beyond the normal things that we might expect in life. Now, again, why did Jesus come to earth? Did he come to earth just to get married, get a job, have children? No. The Bible tells us there in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to provide salvation to all who would believe. And every one of us is connected to that calling in a unique way. And again, sometimes we get the idea that our life is not complete if we haven't checked off some of these boxes along the way. We may need to realize that God has a unique plan and purpose for each and every one of us. And all of our boxes are not going to be the same. And any more than it was for Jesus. Secondly, we see here that as we live our daily lives, it's made up of priorities or choices, not just a project to be completed. When Jesus stops at the well to get water, he meets a Samaritan woman. And it tells us in John 4:34, Jesus said unto them, my meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me, to finish his work, his food, his satisfaction, his fulfillment came from doing the Father's will. That's what was bringing satisfaction to him. And as God, Jesus Christ knew what was ahead of him. He knew about the suffering. He knew about the death. They were important. And yet we see here he's living life a day at a time, like the Lord wants us to live. And that we can enjoy some things along the way and take part in things that come across our paths. Not just one big day off in the future sometime. Not just your wedding day or the birth of your child or a promotion that you think might be coming. That we enjoy the journey. And this is 2 cents, little rabbit trail here. And everybody's got their own little philosophy of life, but I like to enjoy life, some things around us, as I go along the way. And I may have told this story to you before, but I haven't told you today. So, but, you know, so many people I've come across, they put all their eggs in one basket. You know, when I retire, I'm going to do this, this, and this. You know, and so they don't do the vacation. They don't do this. They don't do that. They're all saving up. Boy, when I retire. I remember one couple sticks in my mind. They bought a fifth wheel. And they were going to go traveling. Well, she got cancer and died. And it was, I don't know, a year or two later. He had a heart attack mowing the grass on his little tractor, and heart attack and died right there. The fifth wheel never got out of the driveway. You know, don't wait, put everything down the road, okay? Enjoy life a little bit along the way, okay? And Jesus worked into, you know, he's doing his Father's will, but he didn't just, you know, laser focus. Everything else that comes along in life, I'm not interested in. I'm just focused in on this. And, you know, that's somebody else's problem. Now he worked it in with what he was already doing. It says in Luke 12:42 and 43, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom the Lord shall rule over his household to give them a portion of meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find us doing. See, we are managers, if you will. We're stewards of the time and the resources that God has given to us. And how can we know if we're doing it right? How can we know if we're fulfilling our responsibilities? But notice the master was looking for not what the servant had done in the past, but is doing now. And he's not just looking for us to complete a certain project and then we can check out. But is his servants, is his children, does he find them actively serving him? Through the years, I've talked to people, and some of them, they get to reminiscing. And that's not bad. But I find that oftentimes it's what they used to do, how they used to serve God 20 years ago, you know. Well, I realize as time change, our bodies aren't able to do some of the things that we used to do. But are we still serving in some capacity for the Lord, or have we just kind of checked out? And he doesn't want us to just live in the past or what we used to do for God. He's looking, what are you doing now? He's left you here for a reason, a purpose. Are we fulfilling that? Don't be kind of the bleacher Christian that's just sitting in the stands watching everybody else do something. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, "See that you walk circumspectly," or be careful how you live, "not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time," or using your time wisely, "because the days are evil." Are we just checking days off of the calendar? Or are we really consciously thinking, how can I serve the Lord today? Lord, how can you use me? Are we available to God? Or do we have to get our list done, and then if we're not too tired or got any time left, then we might think about doing that. Our calling also involves a clear focus of influence. Matthew 15:24 says, "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus knew his first responsibility was to Israel. It didn't mean he didn't care about the other people. He did. But his first responsibility was the Jewish people. Later on, we see Paul and Peter and others reaching out to the Gentiles. But Jesus' primarily focus was that on the Jewish people. But again, we too have a responsibility to share the gospel with all people. Doesn't matter how old they are, what their age is, their race is, or, you know, anything else about them. And again, God may have called us to work up with a particular group of people. And maybe it's the poor. Maybe it's the elderly. Maybe it's fellow workers or fellow students, classmates. And so we need to be alert, in tune with God. If he speaks to us about, go and talk to that person. That we're tuned in enough to respond to it, not just feel bad later that we didn't do something. Our calling also involves primarily and secondary focus. Again, what is it that God wants us to be doing? Jesus did many things. He still kept his clear focus, what his number one responsibility was. But yet he did other things too. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. But he did other things too, didn't he? He healed people. Now, again, that was a part of his overall ministry. But he still kept the main thing. He healed people, but he used that to demonstrate his power. So people would set up, pay attention, listen to him. But that wasn't his main focus. Being the Savior was the main focus. And again, how does that distinction matter? Well, again, we determine in our own lives what's the most important thing. And we keep that out in front of us. And we try to keep the main thing the main thing. I remember that was kind of the theme of a church some years ago. But his main responsibility was to be the Savior. But he worked everything else in as kind of secondary. Whether it was healing people, which he did, feeding people. He did a lot of different things, but it all kind of worked together. And you may think, well, mine may main responsibility is to be a husband, a father, a mother, a grandparent, so on, different things. But is that our main focus in life? Is that what God's left us here for? Now, it's a part of it. But is that the reason God's left us here? Now, he could have, at the moment we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, whoosh, we're out of here. Okay? But he didn't. He's left us here, ultimately, to bring glory to God. That's Jesus wanted to bring glory to his Heavenly Father. That ought to be on our list as well. Do we even think about that? Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Not glorify us, but to glorify our Heavenly Father. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And so what we say, what we do, what we think ought to be bringing glory to God. And if we're doing God's will, then it will bring glory to God. But how far off of the bullseye are we from that? I mean, is that something that we aim for? Is it something we even think about to bring glory to God? If it's not even on our list, we better put it up there, right up at the top. And our calling, our responsibility in life helps us to determine how we ought to respond to the needs of others around about us. I think often we find ourselves thinking we're wearing too many hats. We've got too many responsibilities. Husband, father, friend, coworker, neighbor, you know, responsibilities at church and so on. But one way to resolve that is to, again, keep the main focus and maybe excuse ourselves from some things. Now, but again, God doesn't want us just to say, "Well, I'm only going to do, you know, what God wants, and the rest, you know, forget everybody else. You know, that's somebody else's job." We learn from watching Jesus. He kept the main thing, but he also was involved in ministering to other people. Okay, his main focus was working with his disciples, with the Jewish people, but he also healed people he didn't even know. Caused the blind to see. He met all kinds of other needs. And so he didn't just, you know, tell everybody to go bother somebody else. He fed the people. He healed the people. And he even washed the feet of his disciples. Now, he didn't take that up as his primary purpose. He didn't change careers to do that. But God has got a call on our life, and our focus ought to be, again, focused in on what we do, say, think, that could bring glory to God. You know, you might be called to work with children, you know, but, you know, it's not just telling them what to do. It's showing them, demonstrating it. Those little ones are watching mom and dad. What do they do? You know, it's one thing to say one, you know, but then do something else, you know. And I guess one of the things that came to my mind is work day. You know, when the kids see mom and dad showing up and they all participate, you know, we're teaching them by what we do. And seeing what's important to mom and dad, that carries over into their lives as they grow up and what becomes important to them. We'll see here, number 6 here, completion doesn't mean every possible need is fulfilled. A businessman, harassed, discouraged, overworked, took his problem to a psychiatrist who promptly told him to do less work. Sometimes you have, how do you go about doing less work? But he says, "Furthermore, the doctor prescribes, I want you to spend an hour each week in the cemetery." He said, "What on earth do you want me to go and sit in a cemetery for an hour for? What should I be doing?" He said, "Not much. Just take it easy. Look around." Get acquainted with some of the men that are already there. Remember, they didn't get their work finished either. Nobody does. And so Jesus declared that he had completed his work. Even when so few had been healed, even so few of the blind were given sight. And it's hard to imagine the real list of potential things that he could have done, but didn't. But we don't see him checking things off. He said, I completed the work that my Father gave me to do. And he completed all that God wanted him to do. And all of us have things that we would like to do. And yet many of them, if we're realistic, probably won't happen. We get called home before we get the list done. But let's be sure that we're fulfilling our calling. One last thing. Our completion involves investment in others. Jesus never planned to complete everything himself. He passed the work on. He passed it on to the disciples. And he became the light of the world. And he started showing his followers how they too could be light and salt in a world that we live in. And whatever the particular calling you may have, it's maybe unique from everybody else's, and that's fine. And but he wants you to share it with others, to tell others how the Lord is working in your heart and life. And so I trust, too, that we might be choosing to consciously think how, not that we bring glory to ourselves, patting ourselves on our back, but how we can bring glory to God. And that's really comes down to a matter of obedience. And that we might be motivated, as Jesus was, to be more concerned about finishing what God wants us to do than we are maybe just finishing our to-do list. So that one day we might hear Matthew 25:21. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us, you care for us. You think enough of us to have a plan and purpose for our lives. Pray that we might be sensitive to having a desire to know what that is and to then go about doing it. And yet, your word seems to show us that you don't let us take a peek at it so we can approve or disapprove. You let us know what it is when he knows that we're willing to do it. Lord, we pray that we might be sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Pray that we too, along with Jesus, may have a desire on a daily basis to bring glory to you in all that we do and say and think. Pray that you continue to encourage us, draw us close to you. We thank you for loving us, meeting our needs on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like for us to sing a closing song, if you would. 371. 371, have thine own way, Lord. 371. We'll sing the first and last. 371.